Morning, great job on the piano. We're going to let our young people slip out to their worship service. If you'll look in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we'll be looking at today. Starting out in our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is that the old rugged cross? Is that the title of that? Boy, I tell you what, that was wonderful. Enjoyed that. One day I'm going to play the piano when I get to heaven. All right, and I'm going to play it, and y'all are going to be so impressed. You'll be able to play, too, if you don't know how to play, all right? All right, let's all stand together, if you're able, one more time, to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll look at beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat," verse 4, "and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." If you look down verse 11, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." I want to speak to you today as we start a series a couple of weeks ago entitled Looking Up. Looking Up. And today's message will be Looking Up for Vision. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for the message that we're about to preach. And Lord, I need guidance through the power of the Holy Spirit. And thank you already for good music that we've heard this morning and been able to participate ourselves. Lord, where we can gather in a building like this, thank you for the warmth that we feel. Thank you for the friendliness and the love in this congregation. Lord, I pray that we'll feel your spirit move about us. That, Lord, that whatever it is that's weighing upon anyone that's here today, may they be able to find their burden is lifted. Lord, you are with us. We have no doubt about that. And we pray, God, that as we leave this place today, that we'll be encouraged because we've come. And Lord, as we always pray, if there is one today that's not saved, not sure that heaven be their home if they die, that they would, Lord, make themselves ready today before it's eternally too late, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Paul is making reference to really what was taking place to the children of Israel in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As you know, God had led them out of Egypt, and, of course, was intending for them, Moses and the others that were led out of Egypt, to go to the promised land that God had in place for them as he had prophesied in Exodus. And we find that, of course, God says through Paul's writing, they were used as examples. They were used as ones to look to follow or not to follow. In some cases, if you go back and you study in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, you really kind of get a picture of what was going on now that they had wandered in the wilderness. The children of Israel had wandered for 40 years, and it's now time for them to go into the promised land. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we'll make reference to that today, so if you want to turn there, that's fine. You'll find that they had now come to the point to where they are ready to move on out of the wilderness. Many had died in the wilderness. Many, as Paul made reference to in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, many didn't make it over into the promised land. Why is that? Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we'll make reference to it, actually records the massive failure of Israel at Kadesh. What happened is that God's people failed to look up. They failed to look up and believe in God's promise and take the promised land that God had laid out for them. Their lack of faith really was open rebellion against the Lord. And God says through Apostle Paul that we need to look to them as an examples of not following through on believing in God's promises. They chose not to look up, in other words. Fountain City Baptist Church started with a vision almost 42 years ago. Actually, this February it'll be 42 years. And you know what? This vision that we started with is still our vision today in 2016, and that is that our goal is to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to build them up in the faith and to send them forth to serve the Lord Jesus. This may be the first time that some of you have heard this statement. The truth is, just because we have this statement written down in our bylaws and places that of that nature, it doesn't mean that we are fulfilling those purposes. Don't get me wrong, vision is important. The old saying, and I'm sure you've heard this, it says if you aim at nothing, you'll hit that every time. You ever heard that? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And that's certainly true when it pertains to vision. Vision is of great importance in the eyes of God. We know that because God made mention of that several times. One case is found in Proverbs 28, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, we need a strategy in the church for reaching people. We need prayerful, deliberate plans. However, the question is not what is Fountain City's vision for the future. We don't need to ask what is the vision of the pastor. The question that we should ask is what is God's vision for our church? What is God's vision? Some folks have unusual ideas about what a church should be. Some say, well, we need to market the church a little bit more or market a church to get people in. You know, we don't need to market the church like a secular company or treat it in that way. All we need to do is really to heed the words of what the Lord Jesus said do, and that's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, and that Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we see God has laid it out for the church, the vision. Does, you know, that sounds familiar to us, that passage that we read? It should, because it's the passage that draws both our purpose and our mission statement together. You see, knowing God's vision for us is not a problem. Fulfilling God's vision of where is often where we stumble, isn't it? Fulfilling God's vision is where we stumble both individually and sometimes corporately as a church. We see that in not just our church sometimes, but in most churches today. A lot of times people are trying, as I made reference to market the church to get people in. And you know, and I've said many times, if lost people are going to come in to Fountain City Baptist Church, it's not that they're just going to walk in all of a sudden. Now, sometimes that happens, and praise God for that. But the way that we get lost people is what Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19, 20. We've got to go get them. We've got to go and reach people. We've got to reach our neighbors. We've got to reach our family members. We've got to reach our friends and then bring them into the church house. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about looking up in confidence. We talked about looking up last week in encouragement. Now, when it comes to vision, again, we've got to look up to the Lord. Our passage of Scripture that we've used just each and every Sunday is what David said in Psalm 5 and verse 3, chapter 5 and verse 3. David said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. And then he says in those last few words, what he says, and I will what? I'll look up. I'll look up. You know, I've asked you the last few weeks, how many of you had to, you've had to look up recently? We all kind of know what that term means. It's not one that we use maybe often, but, you know, as Christians, we know what it means. You know, we sometimes look up for the Lord's return, you know, or we look up for strength, we look up for encouragement, and often that's the way it's used. Paul told the church at Corinth that the things that happened to Israel were to serve as an example to the local church. And this morning, I want to use the nation of Israel as that example for us today concerning God's vision for Fountain City Baptist Church. We see on the board this morning the first thing, and that is the example for God's vision. God's vision for Israel was what? The promised land. God had it laid out, and God told them that if they just follow His ways and believe His promise, look up, then I've got something better for you than this wilderness that they wandered in for 40 years. For God's vision for Israel was the promised land. Now, if you go back and you look again, we want to look in detail Numbers chapter 13 and 14. But the nation of Israel had been held in captivity in Egypt for 400 years. Now, none of us have lived that long, but yet just imagine if you were held in captivity all of your life. In other words, you were told what time to get up in the day. You were told what time to go to bed. You were told what to eat. You were told what you were going to do as far as work. And matter of fact, you just didn't have any freedoms at all. That was the life of the Egyptians for 400 years under King Pharaoh. They were told what to do. Their life, there was no freedom like we know in America. There was no freedom to worship like they. Their worship and a lot of their idol worship came there in Egypt. And so that was carried over. But God raised up a leader by the name of Moses. And we know Moses. And God used Moses to speak to Pharaoh and led them to the border of Canaan, the promised land. And Cana was their goal. I mean, that's where God says, this is the promised land. This is where you want to get to, right? And it was God's vision for them. And they could see it. I mean, they're almost home. You know, I remember traveling a few years ago, and we'd been traveling all night. And I mean, we'd been to Virginia and traveling all night. And it was just something about getting to that sign where it said, Alabama the Beautiful. Oh boy, I tell you, we're almost home. You know, and just a good feeling that I can make it the rest of the way. Well, you see, they were almost home. They were almost to the promised land. They could see the promised land. God brought them to the right place. He gave them the right plan. Now all they needed to do was step out in faith and they could fulfill God's vision. You know, we're right now in the right place where God wants us. And we have the right plan as a church. All we must do is step out, and we have to do it sometimes on a daily basis, individually. Step out daily and fulfill God's vision for us. You know, as we saw in our message this past Wednesday, it involves two things. It involves listening, and it involves obeying. We looked at last week where the children of Israel chose in Deuteronomy chapter 23 where they chose to, if they would just do two things, God says, listen, obey, then they would receive all of the, in Deuteronomy list a list of beatitude of all the good things that take place. And the last part of that chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 23 lists the curses when you choose not to listen and obey. And sadly, that's what happened with the children of Israel here. They chose to do their own thing. But what did they do in Numbers chapter 13 and 14? Before they would cross over into the promised land. Now, when they cross over, they decided as a committee to get together. And by the way, God approved their plan. Although, you know, they decided as a committee, before we cross over, let's get some men together. And I'm paraphrasing, but you can go back and read it. And they chose 10 spies. Now, was this God's plan? No. God, they came up with the plan and God signed off on it. Okay? God had already told them just to step out by faith, right? It's your land. But before they step out by faith, they decided they're going to get 10 spies together. And the spies were sent on a fact-finding mission. Look in chapter 13 of Numbers with me. And look down in verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they were sent out on a fact-finding mission. Moses never asked them, by the way, as Moses got this committee of men together, these 10 spies, Moses never asked them to determine whether they could conquer the land. Why? Because Moses knew that was, God had already promised them the land. But they were willing to go out and scout out the land because God had assured them he was going to give it to them. Over in Exodus chapter 23, we see that laid out in verse 27. God says, I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. God is speaking about the promised land, what he was going to do to get him over there. He also said in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 30, he says, By little and little I will drive him out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. By the way, all they needed to do was just to claim God's promise, right? I mean, really, that just makes sense for all of us. But, you know, we can't point a finger at the children of Israel and say, well, they were bad by now. We do the same thing a lot of times. We question God's word sometimes. We sometimes read something in God's word and we it stands right out at us, but sometimes we're not quite ready to accept it. And sometimes we're like the children of Israel. We want to kind of check it out first. We'll kind of put God to the test first a little bit. And that's kind of what they were doing here when God had already assured them in places like Exodus, it's your land. You just need to claim it. Look up. By faith. So they found both great opportunities and great obstacles when they went over in this promised land, these men that were on a finding mission. The problem came when the majority of them, there's always a problem sometimes in the majority, isn't there? The problem came when the majority of them forgot the purpose of their mission. What happened? As they were on this fact-finding mission, they got to looking at the land. They got to looking at all the good things sometimes. And of course, what happened also, there were some bad things. You know, life is not a bed of roses, is it? You found that out to be true. I mean, life is tough. Some of you are going through some tough things right now in your own life as a Christian. And God did not promise that, hey, the promised land is going to be without trials or tribulation. He didn't say that. But as they went over there, of course, they began to not necessarily see things through the way God would have them to see it. They focused on the negative. They saw the obstacles, and they determined that the land could not be taken. Look in Numbers chapter 13, down in verse 32. And they brought up an evil report, that is a bad report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search, to spy out, it is a land that eateth up or devours up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, great size. Be kind of like me. You know, I'm 5 foot, well, it used to be 5'6". I think I've gotten a little shorter. But it'd be like coming up against somebody that's like Brother Reed back there. Well, that'd be giant to me. Well, they were much taller, I'm sure. Verse 33, it says, And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. Now, if you go back and read the first part of this chapter, there were great things about the land. But all of a sudden now, things got bad. They started focusing on the obstacles, which, you know, that's a part of life. They saw those things and determined the land cannot be taken. So their report discouraged the people from following God's vision. You see, they were to go out and not necessarily look for the obstacles. Everybody knows there's going to be that. But they came back and that's all they focused on. And they said, hey, we can't go there. So what happens? I guess God's promise that he made was not... God is not good enough. I guess that what God says, hey, it's your land if you want it. Listen, that didn't really mean anything. It did mean something to two men. You see, the report was to two men like Caleb in verse 30 and Joshua. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You see, there was a majority that was opposed. Let me say this. This year, if we're not careful, our lack of faith can cause others to be discouraged, can't it? How can that do cause others to be discouraged? Sometimes, and God says that, you know, we're to do this as a church. You know, we have a mission. You know, I shared with you a few weeks ago about a pastor. He was told at his church that, listen, if you want to grow the church, you're not welcome here. And this pastor told me verbatim, a young pastor told me that he was told by the church that they didn't want missions. They didn't want to grow the church. They had their few. Now, I don't understand that mentality, do you? Because that goes against what God says. Now, grow, I don't mean necessarily numbers' sake, but reaching people with the gospel. And sometimes, listen, when you reach people with the gospel, the church is going to see some not only numerical growth, but spiritual growth. And, you know, may God use us to fulfill his vision, his purpose in our church this year rather than discourage. And here was a group, not the majority, it was the majority, but not the minority that went along with them. There are two spies, though, that gave a faithful report, as I mentioned. Of course, in the midst of the moans and the groans, Caleb and Joshua, they sought to encourage them. As we looked at in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, Caleb was up to the task. Notice he didn't say that there were not any obstacles. He just believed that God would do what needed to be done to fulfill his promise. God always does what needs to be done to fulfill his promise, does he not? He sought to encourage the people, Joshua and Caleb did, rather than go against God's vision or promise. And you know what he was doing is teaching the people to look up to God. And so as encouragers this year, hopefully that's our goal and not discouragers, we'll see God do things in our life that maybe we couldn't see accomplished. But you know, the devil wants to throw those obstacles in our way. You see, it's a decision that we all have to make daily. Are we going to be that encourager? Or maybe we'll choose to be a discourager. You see, it's a choice that we make, as it was for these men. Which do you suppose the Lord wants us to be? Look in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, which was God's spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed, that is his descendants, shall possess it. That is, they shall take it. And you know, Joshua chose that they were going to be, rather than discouragers, encouragers. They saw the same obstacles, by the way, did they not? They saw the same giants. They saw the detours and things of that nature, but yet they came back with a different outlook. They knew that God had already promised them the land. All they needed to do was claim the land. That's why they were the only two, along with some of their descendants, went over into the promised land. You see, after the generation who refused to follow God's vision, they died in the wilderness, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. And after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God's vision had not changed. You know, just because we may change and because we don't agree with what God has laid out doesn't mean that God's going to change on our behalf. Now, Congress and those up in Washington, D.C. would like for that to take place. I mean, God's, we have God's laws to live by. And you know, I know that they're trying to mess with God's laws up there. And you know, they've changed some laws that really were built around the principles of this great book. That doesn't mean God's changed. Just because you want to do away with what God has, how God has defined marriage, that doesn't mean that, listen, God's changed his views on that. Just because you decide, hey, you know, I think it'd be good to, you know, for us to legalize drugs or alcohol or whatever, listen, doesn't mean that God's changed on those views. Or you pick who you want to worship, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, just because you choose to accept false gods and worship false gods, listen, as the children of Israel did, doesn't mean that God's views is changed on that. Oh, listen, Joshua and Caleb, they would go into the promised land and they would enjoy the blessings that God intended his people. And sadly, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as we read, God says there were many who did not go over. Why? Because they listened to the majority rather than the minority, who was God's men, who had told them that, hey, there are obstacles, but we need to look up to God. You see, the more that you looked up to God, the more you realize God's going to fulfill his promise. And that's what God would have us do on a daily basis this year. Boy, it's going to take us looking, yeah, sometimes at examples of past, of how we've done it before. And by the way, I don't want to go back to the old ways, do you? There's some things I learned from the past. We all should learn from the past. But boy, God would have us to look to the future, and God would have us to fulfill his plan. And his plan hasn't changed. The church is still the same. I know we could market the church. And by the way, we could get bigger crowds in here. I know a few things that we could do. I promise it would fill this place up, pack it out next Sunday. But that means we'd have to sell out our vision. That would mean we'd have to do away with our mission. That would mean that your preacher would have to stop preaching against sin and tickle a few ears every Sunday. That would mean that this old book would have to change from up here. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was sitting under a preacher that did all that, I'd be having to find me another place. And God forbid that your preacher ever do that. That is, you run him off. Because I'm going to be found faithful to preach this book. And if God's help, I'm going to be found faithful to preach it. Now, it's not going to make everybody happy. And I'm not here to do that here today. I'm here to please God. And so my challenge to you today is we need to look up to fulfill the vision that God has given us as a local church. For 42 years, this church has been able to do that. And I think that's why God has blessed. And you know, any church that is still vibrant for God, is this doing anything for God, that's seeing people saved, and you know, hopefully that means they're fulfilling God's plan, his vision, his mission. Give you a last thing to think about this morning. We saw the example in the children of Israel for when it came to God's vision. Now I want to give you, secondly, the principles for God's vision, the lessons to be learned. Real quickly, there are four things here. Number one, God's vision always challenges our faith. Not man's visions. You turn on your television today, you watch some television preacher, and they start talking about vision. Most times it's their vision of what all of a sudden God came into the end of their bed and spoke to them in the middle of the night and said, do this. Listen, if it's not in this book, chunk it. God has nothing new to reveal to us today, and he's not going to reveal anything new to you or to me. What God has revealed to us is wrapped up in 66 books called the Bible, the Word of God. There's no new vision to come up with. And thank God for that. But yet, God's vision that he's laid out in his Word always challenges our faith. Secondly, God's vision always requires our obedience. Remember, I told you the two things that we talked about on Wednesday night is to listen and obey. I would challenge you, if you haven't read Deuteronomy chapter 23, go and read that. There are two categories that we talked about Wednesday night that God laid out there. He talked about blessings and curses. Blessings and curses. Blessings if you listen and obey, curses if you don't. And there's a list of blessings and there's a list of curses. And you know, that still works today. You know, God's vision always requires our obedience. We don't get to choose with God whether we, you know, well, Lord, I want to stay right here where I'm at. I want to do what I want to do. When God says, hey, I've got something for you. The children of Israel, they didn't want to move on to the promised land, which was going to be far better for them. I mean, God had something far greater for them. And it was not only just a better land to live in, but God had promised that, hey, this is going to be better than living in the wilderness. They chose to go against that. And sometimes we're like that. Had they just obeyed God. You see, God's vision always requires our obedience. Number three, God's vision always results in our blessings. I don't know of anybody that doesn't want God's blessings. We all want God's blessings, right? Now, sometimes we think of blessings in a way of more things sometimes. And I like things, the right things. But you know what? Blessings come in many forms. But we all, in our right mind, would say, I want God's blessings. Man's blessings, or whatever you want to put it that way, are temporary. We'll burn up. But God, when He blesses us, we can know that we can lay our head on our pillow tonight and be secure. God's blessings. This year, some of you are going to be faced with the challenge of trusting and looking up to God when it comes to your faith and being obedient. Or am I going to continue to be obedient and faithful to God when my life is upside down? Some of you, maybe your life has already been that way and it's just started. You know, someone shared with me this morning something that was going on, and you know, my comment, and it is, thank God that I'm saved, that you're saved, well, we have somebody we can look up to. Because we never know what a day may bring forth, but I'd much rather know that I'm on God's side than not. Look up to God's, for God's vision. It results in blessing. Number four, God's vision always gives us a choice. Notice God could have forced the children of Israel into the promised land. He could have said, hey, you go. And could have forced them to make the decision to do it however you want to do that. But God made the, allowed them to ask, okay, you got your committee together. You want to send 10 spies in there. I've already told you in Exodus, I'm paraphrasing, I already told you it's your land. But go ahead and get your spies together. Moses, this is what, and so they get their spies, their committee together. It must have been Baptists, I would imagine. And go check it out. So what happens? The devil likes to oppose, right? They see all the good things that God has promised them, but also, don't we all, human nature, we focus on the negative, don't we? If I were to find something bad about you or you find something bad about me, it wouldn't take very long. We can find something bad about one another. Our church. Sometimes people visit the church and they're looking for certain things when they come in. If they don't find it, I'm not going to ever go back there. You know what? I could do that in any church. You could do that. Because where there's people, there's going to be what? Problems. Oh, I went to Walmart this past week. You know, I'm not a Walmart person. I'm not opposed to Walmart. People got jobs, but you know, when I go to Walmart sometimes, you know, I get stuck in that line. I'm not a big line person. I'm not one to stay in a place too long like that. But you know what? You go to Walmart, you find people with problems. Doctor's office, be filled with tomorrow. People's got problems. I'm not making light of this. That's part of life. But yet at the same time, you know, may God give us the strength to look to Him for that help that we need when we do have those problems that we're going to face. We can look at the obstacles and think, boy, if this is all life has for me, I don't want it. Some make that decision, and sadly, they end up out of God's will or giving up on God. But it's our choice. You see, God's vision always gives us a choice to do right or do wrong. Let me remind you our vision statement, to win people to Christ. That's what our vision statement here at Fountain City is, to win people to Christ, is to build them up in the faith, is to send them forth to serve the Lord. We have young people back there. Our goal this morning is to win these young people to Christ, is to teach them in the ways of the Lord, to build them up in their faith, and to one day, Lord, send them out to the world, maybe wherever God sends them, to be used of God, to continue to be that disciple the Lord have us to be. You see, that's not the vision for the few. It should be the vision for all of us, right? You see, just as the nation of Israel, we get to choose whether or not we're going to follow God's vision for us. Some choose to follow it. Some choose not. What's your choice today? Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But he said, but as for me and my house, what? We're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I know when my wife and I were married, that was one of the things that we promised God that we would do. Yeah, well, you're in the ministry. You have to do that. Well, that may be part of it, but you know what? We determined this, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be in God's house. Not just because I'm in ministry. I would hope if I wasn't in ministry, I'd still be in church today. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All of us that have kids, we want to see our kids turn out right, don't we? No better way to see them turn out right whenever you raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, let them make one day the choice, hopefully the right choice. You know, because God says it's your choice. It's your choice. You can choose to do right, you can choose to do wrong, but it's your choice. God never forces Himself on any of us. Now, let me close by saying this. Are you ready to embrace God's vision this morning? Are you ready to embrace God's vision that He has for you this morning? You see, to allow God's vision to challenge your faith, to allow God's vision to require you to be obedient. I mean, that's what real vision does. To allow God's vision to bring blessings in your life, it's your choice. If you have not accepted Christ today, it's your choice. But God would have you, I believe, to accept Christ today before it's eternally too late. For the believer, it may be God saying to listen and obey Him, to step out by faith and to claim what God has for you. Proverbs 29:18, again, where there is no vision, what? The people perish. Our churches in some cases in America are dying off. They're dying off. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, you know, statistics tell us that people are not being faithful to God's house like they once were. Now, that may not be you. I'm glad you're here today. But you know what? We as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, we didn't define ourselves in God's house more so. Not forsake the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Listen, we have some that are forsaking, but he says to be faithful in the last days. We're in the last days. Are you willing to let God's vision be something you claim it for your life today? Let's all stand today with our heads bowed and eyes closed, looking up for vision. Father, we just look to you for direction in this invitation now. Lord, I'm not your spirit, but I know, Lord, you're speaking to hearts. Thank you for these that have listened this morning, and I pray, Father, that we would have that confidence and that encouragement that we need, but Lord, to look to the children of Israel as examples. There were some Lord, chose not to follow you. And they paid a great price. But thank you for those who chose to follow you and believe your promises. And this year, there will be many of us that will be challenged with things this year, and already we have been. Lord, help us to be found faithful to your promises, God, to not discount what you've said into your word, not to question it, Lord, but to follow through with looking up to you for that strength that we need, that vision. As a church, help us to do that. If there's one under the sound of my voice this morning that's not saved, I pray, Father, they'll not leave this building before they give their heart to you. And I pray, Father, that they'll take that first step and you'll take the rest. Lord, whatever the need is this morning, I pray that, God, the altars, people will see the altars are open. God, and you deal with hearts as only you can for folks to come in the manner you'd be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Jeannie's going to sing our song of invitation. What is God's vision for you today?
A miracle is waiting.
Not your vision, it's God's vision.
Come to Jesus.
Are you looking up for direction?
He knows
you say, well, I'm feeling like I need to not be as faithful to God this year. I know you don't say that. I mean, God's not saying that, but sometimes we say that. God would have us cross over in the promised land as we looked at the example of the children of Israel. That is to claim God's promise. To fulfill the mission that God's given us for a local church. Not a time to quit. Not a time to say, hey, I'm going to hang it up. It's time to finish the course that God's laid before you. Are you willing to do that today? Got to look up. Amen. Thank you, Miss Jeannie. I know we have some guests here with us, and I appreciate you being here this morning. I want to make sure that you have been made to feel well.